This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. PopX is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm, Walt Disney Pictures, Marvel Entertainment, DC Comics, or any other mentioned franchise or brand. The opinions expressed are of each individual and solely do not reflect PopX Cast. Sit back, relax, put on your Ninja Turtle onesie, and warm up your chimichangas. This is PopX Cast. You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. PopX Cast. Dan the Man, PopX number three, episode number three, coming to you live right here, February 17th. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Brosif. How are you?
Dude, I'm telling you what, I was kind of sweating bullets until 5 minutes. It's kind of crazy. We kind of had a little hiccup with the platform that we stream on. So I was kind of like, you know what, Dan, we're going to have to go like do like some old school podcasting on this. We're going to have to go back to like 2004 and do this on Skype. We're not going to let our fans down tonight. We are going to record Deadpool PopX one way or another.
We were dedicated.
Yeah, we were going to do it. We were going to do it.
I didn't go see the movie twice just so I can sit here and not have this show happen. That's what I'm saying right now. All right.
I know. So you've seen it twice, correct?
Yes. I just saw it this afternoon at 4:50 by myself. I was in the theater with four other people. It was great. I got to kick my feet up and just enjoy the movie.
Did you have a chimichanga?
No, I did not. We don't have any good chimichanga.
Oh my God.
It's not around.
I'm so sorry for that.
No, you should feel
bad. You know, if you were in Florida, we do have Mexican restaurants on every corner down here. So it's not too difficult to find chimichangas. But now, I do want to say right out of the bat, if you guys are tuning in right here, right now, and you want to know what is this Deadpool show all about, I want to throw this up, okay? This is a disclaimer warning. There's two disclaimers. We're going to throw this out right now, right, Dan?
Yeah, we got to throw this out right now. We got to get this off the gate. One, you want to start off with one?
Spoiler? I'll do one, you do two. This is a spoiler alert, okay? So if you've not seen the movie, okay, you might want to go and watch the movie later this week and then come back and listen to episode three, okay? Just saying. And what is the throw up number two disclaimer?
I would have to say that it might get a little explicit. There's definitely some language in this movie. It is rated R. So normally we like to keep things friendly. So if you are listening to this with your kid, I would suggest that if you do not want him to hear any profanity whatsoever, I would wait to listen to this when it's up.
We're not going to say profanity here. We're talking about the movie in general.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's just some parts.
There's some things in there that's definitely not for tender eyes, as we shall say. So if you're planning to take your 12-year-old kid who is pulling at your pants to go, mommy, take me go see Deadpool right now. No. You don't want to do that. Do you want to go out for date night with your friends after work one night? Yeah, that's a good movie to do that with.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, your kids? No, absolutely not. But right out of the gate, there we go. Got it. All right, so we're officially going to the point of no return in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. All right, guys. So Deadpool. What are some of your favorite moments of Deadpool, Dan? Well, I'm going to let you break the ice for us because I know you've had the monster drink. You're just like chomping at the bit here tonight.
The beginning of the movie was great. I can't remember every introduction it was, but as they're spinning through this action scene right at the beginning. They're cutting to the director and, you know, people are in the movie, but it's just like, it's starring some whiny teenager and directed by, you know, this pompous, you know, a-hole. And yeah, that part right off the bat was great. And then he's in the cab with, God, I can't remember his name already. I can't remember the cab driver's name, but he's in there. He's talking with the cab driver. It's just great. Yeah, he's just like a child. And yeah, I love the way that his eyes moved with the costume. It was perfect. They did the facial expressions.
Good. Yeah, I
so
picked up
well. Oh, it was just so many damn good parts right there off the beginning. Excuse my language. It was awesome, man. It was so good.
Oh, man.
He's on the bridge waiting for the cars to come by so he can jump all these guys. And he's sitting there just kicking his feet, listening to Salt and Pepper.
Relaxing.
Yeah, just drawing a picture. Listen
to Salt and Pepper. Shoot, badoop.
Shoot, badoop, badoop, badoop. And he's just, you know, chilling, swinging his feet like he ain't got nothing to care about. Then just drops in on him like, oh my God, just starts kicking some serious booty.
I love the fact that he says maximum effort.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, that's the picture right there. I love it.
Look at that.
Yep.
Have you seen this guy, Francis?
And he straight starts off. He said, now this you wouldn't think is a love story, but all good love stories start off with a murder.
Of course they do. Well, it was pretty awesome. I was reading some statistics this weekend, and hopefully you guys stuck around for the intro part, because it kind of really gave you a good basis, foundation on what Deadpool is, where he would come from. Kind of starting us off, Deadpool came in New Mutants issue number 98 around 1993, okay? And he was drawn by the artist Rob Liefeld. And Rob is the creator of Deadpool, and he also has a couple of his own Easter eggs, including a cameo in the bar scene. So he's actually one of the guys in the bar. And you know the coffee cup that he's holding that says Rob L on it? There's a coffee cup that he's holding, and it says Rob L on it when he's in his human form. When he's in,
yeah, I didn't catch that. Yeah, yeah. See, those are like the little things that,
yeah. But yeah, the bar is actually Sister Margaret's home for wayward girls. But we all know that in the comics, so yeah, as the Hell House. That's what it's called in the comics. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So,
but a little information for you. Rob Liefeld did create the character as kind of this, I don't want to say Joker-esque kind of banter. A lot of people say that he was created out of DC's homage to Deathstroke, and that's Slade Wilson.
Yeah, and I mean it seems
Wade
so,
Wilson.
Yeah,
so,
and I mean they're very similar with the, you know, the,
yeah, the mask
swords and the mask and the guns, but yeah. Deadpool's way cooler.
Well, Deadpool's funny. Yeah, Deadpool, like, I would like to see Deadpool go up against Deathstroke. I think there's a video for that on like Bat in the Sun somewhere.
When he punches Colossus in the Boys. Right, the Boys. He's like, oh,
I felt
your
that one.
Poor wife,
dude. I felt that in the theater. I was like,
his hand's like broken.
Now, one of my favorite scenes in the movie actually was pretty close to that scene. It was an homage to Monty Python's Search for the Holy Grail, and that's when, have you seen the scene where the two knights are fighting? Oh, it's only a flesh wound.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's the same thing where he's like kicking him. He has no arms in Monty Python's.
You ever see what?
That was Deadpool's homage to Monty Python. So he's like hitting him. His arm breaks. And he's just sitting there like, this ain't fair.
Oh, man. Then when he does, he's like, yeah, did you ever see, what was the movie with James Franco called?
Oh, God.
Oh. Spoiler alert. Cuts his arm right the hell off. That was great.
127 hours. That was great. That was a good reference.
When his hand's all little, and he's stroking her chin with the little hand, and he's like, hey, you might want to go in the other room.
It feels huge in my hand. Oh my God, dude, that was so funny. I swear there were so many one-liners. But yeah. I do want to let you guys know that it was really cool with the budget of this movie. And I was looking at the statistical data of Deadpool. And you think about movies like Guardians of the Galaxy, for example, had a budget of around $224 million somewhere in that neck of the woods. I might be off.
Wow.
Okay. So, So, and if I'm not mistaken, Star Wars kind of had a budget of about $108 million somewhere. Yeah. We're talking about Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Okay. All right.
Is that right? Revenge of the Sith?
Revenge of the Sith is Episode 3. Yep.
So, in comparison to how Deadpool has done this past weekend, they were only projecting Deadpool to like make, well, once Friday came and they saw the overwhelming response of what's happening at the box office, they were like, oh, wow, we actually have a hit here. Yeah. This is going to be good. So by Sunday night, Deadpool had grossed in the United States $132 million. So the budget was only $58 million for the film alone.
Wow.
So it's done pretty good in the box office, I got to say. And by the time Monday rolls around, as of Monday night, $152.2 million from Friday opening to Monday.
Man.
So, and let me break this down for you. Deadpool was such a big box office hit. It beat Fox's biggest all-time film ever, which was Revenge of the Sith. Can you believe that? There's a Star Wars connection. Deadpool beat.
Don't hurt me, Joe. All right?
I'm telling
you. I love the movie.
Hey, I don't come up with these statistics, man.
I know. Well, yeah. I'm just gonna blame it on the fact that nobody liked the prequel. No, I'm just gonna stop it right there. Deadpool was great. It deserved it. Don't go there.
That's a tender subject for us all. I know.
It hurts. So
anyway, yeah,
that part on the bridge alone was awesome with the 12 bullets. I mean,
yeah,
it was great how every time he fired one off, there was the number on the bullet. And then when he got pissed off at the one guy and he's like 3-4, damn it. Sorry, excuse my language.
You're fine, man.
That was the best. It was so good. He just like shot him twice and he was just like, ah, man.
Bad Deadpool.
Yeah.
Bad Deadpool.
Then he did the three birds with one bullet shot. That was really cool. Yeah, it was awesome.
There was some of my favorite ones was actually obviously enjoyed Stanley's cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of his best cameos in a Marvel film to date. I'm telling you.
Chastity.
I found out today that Stanley, creator of Marvel Comics, we all know Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Actually did a series. I can't remember. Is in the early 90s. It was like Strip Girls or something like that. And it was a comic book series. And so that scene where Stan Lee's at in the club is an homage to his old series that he produced himself when he left Marvel Comics.
Oh man!
So it's kind of cool. There's so much going on in the back.
They packed that movie full of stuff. I mean, I've only saw, you know, the references when he was getting carted in to get his powers. He's like, don't fit me with a glowing green suit.
Yes. And you got to wonder, how in the world did Fox allow so many references to other franchises, even outside of Marvel Comics, even outside of Fox?
Well, because I think they were subtle. They weren't exactly mentioning anything. I mean, he just said an animated glowing green suit.
Yeah, that is true. But he did drop Batman and Robin. He dropped, you know, you are the Batman to my Robin or the Robin to my Batman. Remember that?
Yeah, but I don't know the licenses on using that, you know, dropping that name anymore. Yeah. Batman's so old, man. I feel like anybody could just say that on TV anymore.
But some of the things for me that worked, though, I definitely loved the fourth wall breaking.
Oh, that was great. Just right there, that part right there. He's like, did I leave the stove on?
Did I leave the stove on?
That was the best part. He's like flipping upside down. And he's like, ah, did I leave the stove on?
I know. And
this movie's great.
But this movie alone, and the reason why we're making a big deal about this on PopX is because Deadpool is literally kind of setting the bar for other films to come out, especially films that are owned by Marvel and Fox, like X-Men, for example. Now they're talking about, well, will Wolverine 3 actually come with an R rating, which will, you know, bring in a different side. I mean, I'm sure Hugh Jackman would definitely want to be able to portray that a rougher, more edgier side of Logan that we've not seen yet. So Deadpool's kind of setting the bar because if you think about it, I mean, Deadpool has already done an amazing job at the box office. And it's number one all week. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, I just wanted to add on to what you were saying. With setting the bar, they're also bringing in a different crowd.
Uh-huh.
With that R rating, it seems to catch the eye of more adult viewers.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel that these superhero movies are new action films. You know, they are the Lethal Weapons. They are the, you know, the Schwarzenegger movies, the Predators, these are the next generation of action films. And being able to kick it up to that R rating so mm-hmm. we can, you know, enjoy something without having to take our kids. I don't have kids, but I'm just speaking for other people to be able to go enjoy an adult film. You know what I mean? An R-rated film without having to worry about, you know, your kids being there and seeing, you know, the Avengers or something or whatever. It's just like a different class, I feel, for the older genre of fan.
And I do want to say Tom Butler over in the chat makes a really good point, and I want to thank you, Tom, for bringing that. We've reached an era where the superhero movies are literally the new thing. And whatever we can do, I think film directors and producers and executives, whatever they can do to try to enhance and bring a comic book to life the way when we were a 14-year-old flipping through the pages of X-Men or the Avengers, and the way we would envision these comics to be and how the images would jump off the pages and the stories just like took us somewhere. I think that's what they're wrestling with now. I don't want to say wrestling with, that's a poor choice of words, but I think that's what they're doing is they're really going all out to create these images. We've always had this perfect image of Deadpool. You know what I'm saying? With the mask
and
the eyes and how the eyes move and how he's just a total boss on the silver screen.
I really want to say the line of what he looked like in compared to Beauty. What his friend said in the bar, but it's just a little too.
That's a little too much for this clean.
The avocado with the avocado.
Avocado, yes, it's just or Freddy Krueger topographical map.
Map. In Utah.
Oh, it's great. You know, it was really.
Yeah.
Really good movie. Good music in there. I love the hype scenes where he's, you know, listening. The DMX comes in. X gonna give it to you.
X gonna give it to you. And yeah. I don't know if you noticed this, but some of his action scenes, especially the ones on the bridge where he's like flipping and it's mm-hmm. like where he's saying like maximum effort and he's shooting the gun. Did you notice the sound effect that they're using in there is familiar to that of the King of Pop?
No.
Yeah, that boom, 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 boom.
Oh, that is okay.
That is the sound.
Yeah, boom, 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 boom. I just heard that song today on the radio.
Just beat it. Anyway.
Beat it.
My whole world found the answer right now to tell you once again. Who's bad? Anyway. Anyway, we're getting off on a tangent here, but I have to say, though, it was really cool because I caught it right off the bat. I have, you know, a lot of guys don't know this, but I actually do make music. I am not only a podcaster and a nerd, but I am one of those guys that actually sits behind a keyboard and makes music. You know what I'm saying?
You've got the ear, man. You've got the ear.
But I heard it, and I was like, oh, that's a cool reference. I got to let everybody know about it. So...
I love the Careless Whispers
drop
in there, too. It was great.
That was really great. Now, a lot of other things that worked for me, too. We had talked a little bit about the fourth wall break I think that was there's so many mental sides to Deadpool in a character. If you've ever read a comic, he is like, he's warm and fluffy with Hello Kitty on this one, but he's also over here just like chopping somebody's head off.
Yeah.
And there's so many mental capacities to Deadpool. And one of my favorite scenes that actually encaptures one of his many, many sides is when he took the knife to the head at the end and he sees the unicorn. And he sees the unicorn coming up to his girl and he hears that music in the background. I lost it. I couldn't take it. It was just like, and he's got he's got a knife, a dagger in his head, and the music's like
little cartoon characters are all popping up all over the place.
Oh my god, dude. It was so amazing. I was enjoying that.
His hand gestures were I was dying.
I had talked about a little bit about the statistics. It was the biggest R-rated opening weekend film ever.
Wow.
$132.7 million.
Wow.
And another one for you. It's the biggest opening weekend for a first-time director, Tim Miller. This is his first film.
Wait, who?
Tim Miller.
He was the one that was in the bar, right?
Wasn't he? I'm sure he was in the bar.
I thought he was his bartender buddy.
Is that Tim Miller?
That was, I think so.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not going to lay fact on that. You can't be doing
that. That was in a day, not the weekend. Yes, that was in a day, not the weekend. I was just making that clear. Yeah, it's the biggest R-rated opening day. With $132.7 million and the biggest opening weekend for first-time director. It's also the biggest 20th Century Fox debut ever, and I had mentioned that a little bit earlier. And it bested the $108 million Fox's Star Wars Episode III back in 2005. And that was the biggest blockbuster thing that pretty much the Fox film industry has ever had until now. And so that's pretty cool. And so Easter eggs, let's talk about that. There's so many.
God, yeah.
Where do we begin?
I didn't even have enough time to digest this movie to start pulling them out.
I know. It was one of those films. I saw it the first time and I was so excited to see it. And I know I missed like probably 40% of the Easter eggs because I was just so excited to see Deadpool.
I mean, they ripped on Taken. In all three of the movies, she was like, oh, why are you awake? He's like, I just had a dream that Liam Neeson's kid got taken again. He's just keeping me up all night.
And there's also a reference to Ripley from Alien.
I love what he lays down there because, you know, he's like, after three movies, you just think that he's just a bad parent.
After three movies, you just got to think that Liam Neeson is just a bad parent.
Oh yeah, there was Sinead O'Connor.
O'Connor.
That one.
Yeah. Nothing compares to you.
Yep.
Yeah, that was really good. Gosh, I mean the list goes on and on, obviously. It's just everything from Stan Lee to the actual creator of Deadpool himself, Rob Liefeld, not only creating it, but in the film himself. He was on set and in the bar scene. Just kind of cool. So I would love to have that issue of the first appearance of Deadpool. And I think there was a time in my life I had it in my hands, but I think I traded it off to some kid. And I was like, this Deadpool guy is kind of stupid. I'll just take Spider-Man.
He appeared in X-Men. Did he appear in X-Men first? Is that why he's associated with the X-Men?
The New Mutants.
Okay.
The New Mutants was at the time, I think it's in 1991, if I'm not mistaken. He was created, and Rob Liefeld was the artist at the time. And so he was drawing, and one of my favorite artists, I remember drawing, it was 1991. Okay. And in 93, there's a lot of significance to the year 1993 in here, because in 93... Deadpool finally got his own comic. He was no longer in the New Mutants.
All right.
In 93 is when Shoop was on MTV. and came out.
No kidding. Oh, wow. That's so great that they threw that in like that. That's great.
There's so many things when you think about it and you unwrap it and you talk about it and you just unpack it.
You know, we could have a whole other podcast about this movie, just breaking down the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I this is just my reaction to how.
Yeah.
Just like the callback to the origins.
Mm-hmm.
With the little action figure that one for it.
Yeah, X-Men Origins. We should probably talk about that too because it was an atrocious.
I was so excited at the beginning of that movie when I saw him in the elevator and he was talking all that smack. I was like, "Oh, this is going to be great!" And then they turned him into that.
What? It was like Frankenstein, Deadpool.
What was that? And how is he a merc with the mouth when it's all? Did you notice when they mentioned that when they said he said I should sew your mouth up when he was sitting in the chair?
That's not a good idea.
And he's like, "Well, that wouldn't be.
That wouldn't be a good idea. No, not at all."
So they definitely threw a lot of things out about all of that movie. You know, everything that happened in that movie was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to let you guys know that's joining us right here, we're going to open up the fourth window here in about 5 or 10 minutes. Once we're done bantering, you guys can come in, talk about Deadpool. We'll actually have you on the recording. So when we do that, we ask you just keep your language down to a bare minimum because this is a everyone podcast that's going out on iTunes for everybody. So, but we want to get definitely in touch base with our fans and see what they had to think about Deadpool as well.
Definitely.
You know, did you notice there was another Easter egg? And I got to mention this one. This is kind of a big one, and a lot of people didn't notice it.
Lay it on me.
But I did. All right. At the end scene. They're, mm-hmm. What are they on? Is it an oil tanker? You think it's an oil tanker?
That you know what? I noticed that the whole time. It's the Avengers, like a broken down
helicarrier. It's a helicarrier from
there. Yeah. I noticed it. It was like, that's too darn big.
So if you look at it, it was like a ghetto helicarrier. It was like S.H.I.E.L.D. basically had like, it's like the first version of one of their old helicarriers that went down in like Captain America Part 2. Cause you know how in Captain America Winter Soldier, when all of them went up and then they all just come back down.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was kind of a nice nod to the Avengers and Captain America.
That was a great scene too. When that thing's falling over mm-hmm. and he's maximum effort and just throws that container that she was inside of that oxygen iron lung thing, whatever that was.
Whatever that device was. Yeah. And also the facility he was at was the Weapon X facility in which Wolverine was created.
Okay, so that was the...
Stryker?
Stryker, that's it. Stryker. Okay, yeah.
They didn't actually say that it was the Weapon X facility, but it mm-hmm. was the Weapon X facility. And we actually got some nods and references to other characters from the Marvel Comics universe, including Marrow, who was the individual who had the thorns coming out of their back. That's Marrow. Mm-hmm. So we may see Marrow in Deadpool 2.
So let me ask you something.
Sure.
Now, with the X-Men being involved, X-Men isn't owned by Marvel movies, right? Who is X-Men owned by?
Fox. Fox has the franchise rights to produce those kind of movies.
But I thought Colossus was in the other movie. So how did they get Colossus to be – how did they buy the Colossus name to put in Deadpool when Colossus was in
– It's a Fox film.
I thought it was Marvel.
Marvel is in license.
I thought it was Marvel Studios.
It's confusing. I know. So yeah. Sony owns Spider-Man or owned Spider-Man. They have a partnership with Sony to have the license rights because Spider-Man, when it first came out – Marvel gave the rights to Sony with Tobey. Remember Tobey Maguire? Mm-hmm. Was it?
Yeah, don't remember. Okay. Tobey
Maguire. Yeah. All right. So it was. That is right. Right. Tobey Maguire.
You're right. It was Tobey Maguire.
So
the whiny spider.
The whiny one. Yeah.
That's why I was just saying.
I always know him as emo Spider-Man because from Spider-Man 3, where he's like.
He was a sensey. He was a crier.
Yeah, he's a crybaby. But anyway. Anyway. But here's what happened. The past couple of years, Disney has actually came in and bought Marvel Comics. All right. Okay. So Disney owns not only Marvel Comics, they also own Lucasfilm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they have any rights, anything they want to do to the film franchises or whatever, they have a hand in it.
Okay.
They also own Deadpool. Even though it's produced by Fox, Fox is paying for the exclusive rights, you know, for Deadpool to be used as a character in the cinematic 20th Century Fox universe.
Okay.
If that makes it's complicated.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're all just sharing is what you're
so
trying to tell me.
Basically what we're seeing is we're seeing what kind of what is happening to this as a whole is, you know, the new Fantastic Four movie that came out in August 2015 that just kind of bombed at the box office. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So we don't want to talk about that. It was just an atrocity.
I haven't even yet to watch it.
Don't. If you want to watch it, go back and watch
it. Just out of curiosity. It's like one of those things where it's like, I got to see how bad it is.
It's pretty bad. The storyline's pretty bad. Yeah, and so that's what happens when you see these, like when these movie companies own the rights to these characters and to these things, they can really screw it up. And they,
I know. That's why I'm saying
that's what's happening is Marvel is slowly obtaining the rights back to some of their films and some of their characters because they sold them early off so these film companies could make these movies. They didn't know what they were doing. So
I mean, it was a brand new era, like we were talking about. You know, now that they're seeing what it's developing into, I think they're all starting to collaborate a little bit and say that, you know, we can all benefit from this.
Nerds, so now we're going to
pay. We will pay. Take my money. Make cool films.
We're going to get Spider-Man in Captain America: Civil War. Right. So that's going to be different.
It's going to be awesome. And this Spider-Man, this kid's young.
Oh yeah, he's going to be really
young.
Awesome.
I mean, they picked a young kid every time. You know, Toby was in his mid-20s and Andrew Garfield was in his mid-20s. This kid, I think he's only like 16 or 17. I don't know. I forget his name, but
another
he's
thing
young.
Too I liked about Deadpool is they actually embraced the yellow costumes from the 80s and the 90s.
Mm-hmm. You know, when she burst out of her
Negasonic warhead, Negasonic teenage warhead.
I'm unfamiliar with her. At first, I almost thought she was Jubilee for some reason.
I thought she was Jubilee too, and I was like, no, that's not Jubilee.
Right.
But her name is Negasonic teenage warhead, and then the other one with Ajax was Angel, and she's also
Francis.
Huh? Francis. Ajax is Francis. But anyway, I digress. But it was really cool to see those yellow costumes. There's a cool picture of Mr. Francis.
Do you think that they did you remember when Francis stabbed him through the back in the facility? Do you think that was like a Terminator 2 call out?
Stabbed him in the back?
And like he shoved the piece of wrought iron through the ground and everything? Remember when they were fighting?
I do remember that.
It was like a straight Terminator 2 scene when
the T-1000
shoves the wrought iron through his back, puts it through it and bends it, and then walks away, you know, and then goes to kill Sarah Connor.
Interesting. I never picked up on that.
Yeah, for some reason it just flashed right into my head. I was like, wow, that was just like in T2. Mm. I wonder if maybe they were doing a little Easter egg on that, just like a subtle.
Now, having said that, talking about Francis and Ajax or whatever you want to call him, the big bad of Deadpool.
Some random British guy.
But I think honestly that's the only flaw with the entire movie is I think that story and just the diabolical way that he could have been portrayed. I mean, you think about the Avengers, you think about how they build up these evil big bads.
Right.
I think it could have been amped up just a little bit more, like something more devastating could have happened, or Deadpool could have actually had a loss of someone.
This is the way I took it. I took it as how you were saying Deadpool has many crate. He can be over here light and fluffy with his Hello Kitty bag full of guns, you know, or he can be, you know, over here where he's just like, you know, he just cut off a bunch of heads and just went off the wall. But you see, like, did you see what he was most concerned about the whole movie? The whole movie was him about fixing his face. It wasn't about saving.
That's true.
It wasn't about. He said, I want to go. I want to get my hot face back. And so I can get back together with my smoking hot girlfriend and forget all this ever happened. Yeah. That's what he was concerned about. His girlfriend got kidnapped because he was so concerned about his own face and what he looked like because he's very self-involved.
That's interesting.
When he was in the bathroom, she got taken. And that just like Liam Neeson.
Taken. There that is.
It is.
Yeah. There was speaking of other references, there's also a reference to Blade Trinity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, of course, played as a role, small role in Blade. Mm-hmm. You guys remember. But we're going to open up the seat and have some people come in for about 10 or 15 minutes. Is that okay, Dan?
Yeah, sure.
All right, cool.
But to get to the point where I was saying, though, about him and what the movie, you know, not amping up the big bad guy, mm-hmm. I just think that he wasn't the focal point of Deadpool's enemy was almost Deadpool himself. Yeah. You know, it was his insecurity of what he looked like was really his main enemy.
Yeah, I got you.
It kind of bit him when he went to go into that bathroom and she got taken. None of that would have happened if he would have just manned up.
Yeah, he couldn't get over the fact that he was just his face was just deranged. Yeah,
come on, he looked Ryan like Reynolds,
hamburger meat.
He looked good.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. But so we're gonna see if anybody wants to call in. I know Tom Butler was chomping at the bit. He wanted to call in us a little bit earlier, so this is your chance to call in and talk to the PopX crew about your experiences with Deadpool. Now you're saying you're going to chill out for a bit. You're just, you know what? You crazy Brits.
Oh, get in here.
Oh, now he's getting in.
There we go.
There we are.
If his
stream will load, I don't know. We're doing this on the fly, ladies and gentlemen. So bear with us.
What's your problem with us Brits, for one?
I don't have any problem with you Brits, man. It was in the film credits.
Yeah,
what are you talking
about?
It
was in the film credits.
It was just the bad guy. It's just some British guy is what it said.
So it's Francis. Okay, I will admit one of my favorite scenes of that movie has to be the bit where Francis is on top of the quote-unquote helicarrier. Mm-hmm. And he's looking down and he goes, "Hey, what's my name?" And then you just hear Deadpool like mutter under his breath, I'll spell it out. And then you just see the dead body saying Francis. Funny, yes. Man. But
did you pick up on you know the guy that Wade that Deadpool talked to? It's like, "Hey, I know you're from Jacksonville." Did you know who that was?
Yeah,
it's Hydra Bob.
No, wait. Whoa. What do you mean? Who's Hydra Bob?
Hydra Bob is one of Deadpool's friends in the comics.
Oh, no kidding.
From Hydra.
Yeah. Wait, okay. All right. Yeah. See, I've not read the comics.
I think someone's saying I have a fake accent, but okay.
I don't think it's a fake accent. I think it's that's J.S. Gilbert. He's J.S. Gilbert. I love you. You know that. But so, Tom, what did you like about Deadpool, man?
Okay. I've said this numerous times. I know the movie's about Deadpool, but my favorite scene is Colossus's nut shot where he gets legitimately launched. Like, I'm pretty sure every guy in the cinema held their crotch at that one moment. It was legitimate, grab your nuts and just...
I do not want to hit woman.
No, it's more of a, your boobs out. And then she's like, "Oh, you're so sweet," as she's doing it up then. Bang.
Oh, you're so beautiful. Your thing is right there. Oh, your beautiful. Cover
your
up.
Your lady part is there. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That bit was amazing. And then my other scene, and I can't remember now to stop me, because the last time I saw the movie was like 2 days ago, and memory's not fresh.
How many times have you seen it, Tom?
About 10 times, but certain things, and I have bad memory. You should know this about me. I have bad memory. But I don't remember it. This is the thing. And I have you on Skype. Wait there. Let me check.
How about the part at the end there when he's just like, Joe.
Four or five moments. It just Deadpool takes 4 or 5 moments.
Four or five good moments.
Take 4 or 5 good moments. Reflect.
He's like, "Well, now I got 4.
And then just
bam.
Yeah, bang. But yeah, no, also, like I said, I can't remember if it goes in, I can't remember if it went in the movie or it was just in the trailer, but the scene where supersonic teenage warhead hits the woman, and then you just hear Deadpool go, "I pity the guy who pushes her into prom sex."
Yeah.
That bit I love because it was just like,
Yeah, a Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
That was a Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah, I think she is she a newer character in the X-Men universe, or is she just unique to this film? Or
she seems like she was like maybe from one of like the like Saturday morning cartoons, like from
yeah.
You know what?
No,
like,
I think she's pretty new because even in the film, it's stated fairly early that she's Colossus's like.
Correct. You
know, yeah, he's her mentor. So it's like,
okay.
Well, let's talk about Colossus for just a second while we have the graphic up here. I have to say, for a CGI character, this is one of the better Colossuses I've ever seen in a feature film from the X-Men franchise ever.
I cannot agree more.
I did like the one where when he was like he could be human, and then you could see him change into the Metal Man. Like I thought that was awesome.
The bit I didn't like about that was if you looked, it was instead of it as you can see on this Colossus where it's like panels of metal, strips,
on that
guy it was more of the actual muscle turned metal. Like,
Right. Yeah, I do like – I like how he has more of the plate like you're saying.
And
yeah,
another thing I like too about this Colossus is when he moved, I don't know if you picked up on it in the theater, but the sound effects of his actual body and the metal – kind of like bending, and you can hear him moving around. It was kind of unique.
Yeah, when she was strangling him with the cable, you could hear metal being like worked. And yeah,
even the punch, it almost sounded like a hammer striking metal.
Yeah, it was like an anvil strike. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was really happy with this Colossus, though. I mean, when I was reading the comics as a kid, X-Men. Let's go back to Jim Lee, X-Men. You know, number one. When Colossus was drawn the way I remember Colossus to be, this I have to say this is the Colossus that I grew up and know, and I'm so glad that for finally I'm not giving any diss to any whatsoever of the X-Men franchise because I love them all. I love them all too.
Yeah,
I mean, Hugh Jackman will forever be Wolverine. In my
just like how Ryan Reynolds was born to play Deadpool. Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman was born to play Wolverine.
Absolutely. Patrick Stewart always will be known as Professor X.
Definitely.
Let's not forget that.
Definitely.
Patrick Stewart is definitely Professor X.
To touch on the Colossus situation a little bit more, what I like more about this Colossus compared to the other Colossus we've seen, this one's actually Colossus in size. Like the Colossus we've seen before, he's just a tall guy who's like 6 foot something.
I just like how massive he was.
He's like 9 foot tall.
He ducks through the door, whereas the other Colossus was just like his head skimmed it a bit.
Yeah, I was really happy with the way they did that, and it just opens so many windows because now will we see this version of Colossus coming up in Apocalypse or?
That will be. I don't think we will.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, there's so many.
We might see a younger version of him.
I wonder how much of the Deadpool film will we actually see in future X-Men films like Wolverine 3 or X-Men Apocalypse.
Do we want to bring that up, Joe? Do you have anything to say about maybe Deadpool 2?
It was released this past week that you guys got to help me with names, and I do apologize. I'm not on my game. But I did happen to pull an image. The guy that played in Avatar, the guy that played.
He's
going to come back as Cable?
I heard that he is one of the leading guys to come on. I got this image from superherohype.com. That's kind of where I pull all of my data because they're so up on it. They're in the moment.
Well, to be quite fair, he has that face. If you look at him, he has that face.
He does have the face. And Dolph Lundgren, I hear, is also – yeah, thank you so much for that over in this chat room. Dolph Lundgren is actually one of the ones, too, also in the running. And I think there's a female, too, if I'm not mistaken. But it's going to be interesting to see how everything pans out. But as we do know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, Cable is going to be part of Deadpool Part 2. We know that for sure. And so having said that, it's going to be – if you don't know anything about Cable, let me give you just a very quick five-second rundown. Cable
He's from the future, right?
Yeah. Well, he's the future son of Scott and Jean Grey.
That's
Scott,
awesome.
Scott is, of course, Cyclops. And so Scott Summer and Jean Grey. So that's the future son. There he is, and Cable.
Bishop is also from his future too, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe you might get a little Bishop cameo or something.
Who knows? So there's so much fun stuff to play on. Yeah. And should we talk about the end scene spoiler?
You can go ahead. You go ahead and run with that. I saw it for a brief moment, but I didn't really catch all of it.
So all right. So at the end of it, if you guys haven't seen it, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but it is a wonderful play to Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where they're
yeah, I loved him in the road.
How did you get a shot of that? That's crazy. That's like, oh my God, so illegal. That's crazy.
He's on top.
He's on top of it, man. But so that was really nice. He said, what do you expect? Sam Jackson in an eye patch? I thought that was freaking hilarious because that's how all the Marvel Avengers films ended. Yeah. Pretty much Sam Adams in an eye patch trying to get the Avengers together. And then it cuts and it says some text, and then it comes back and he says, oh, by the way, I want to let you know Cable is going to be a part of Deadpool 2. We don't know who's going to get it. You know, and he mentioned a few names and all that stuff. But it was pretty cool. To see that and kind of how he tied Deadpool 2 in. And so it's kind of a teaser.
Pretty much.
At least they're bringing the comic books truly to it now. They're not just going, we're going to do our own adaptation of what the comic book says. No, they're actually not following off the comic books now. Like they're bringing in proper characters. I like
that. And the Lounge Network actually reminded me of a really cool fact, too, that Cable also, too, was created as well by Rob Liefeld. So he is a original creation. So, you know, of course, we're going to see more of him, I'm sure, in the future as well. But
so does anybody else maybe want to?
Yeah, are you good, Tom?
I will catch you later. Thank you for allowing me to join
in.
All right. Enjoy the podcast, thank you for everyone.
Tom Butler, everybody.
Thanks for joining in, Tom.
Goodbye.
Right. Have a good night, man.
We got a couple more minutes. We probably got about 5 minutes, then we're going to wrap things up here on PopX. We want to thank everybody for just hanging out with us, and you guys are just totally awesome and just geeking out. We've had fun. I know you all had fun. You got any closing remarks on Deadpool, man? Anything you want to, like, kind of pull out?
I want to shoot-ba-doop. Shoot, and let's get these chimichangas fired up.
Yeah,
I was so excited about this movie. Now, it's so fun. I just couldn't stop laughing. I mean, tell Beast to stop crapping on my lawn. Yeah, right,
that was funny.
I'm just every little one liner that he had was amazing. It's like, I'm just gonna wait out here. You know, this place is pretty big. It's like you guys didn't have enough money to afford more X-Men.
I got that. I want to say over here in the chat room as well, one of our friends that listens, Cameron, said that there's an R rating for Wolverine. I don't know if that's confirmed yet or not. We're kind of, you know, on pause pretty much to see what Hugh Jackman is going to do, because ultimately he is Wolverine and he is kind of spearheading the film along with the producers and stuff. So we don't know really what direction he's going to take it. If you've heard something different than what I've heard in the past 8 years, I'd love to read it for sure. But if anybody wants to hop in, go ahead and hop in right now. We got just a few minutes left. We got Red 5 Mom coming in here. Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
All right. This is awesome sauce.
I'd love to see Stay a Hugh
for,
Jackman.
For Deadpool.
What's up, Red 5?
Well,
hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud. Okay.
I'm not a fan of raunchy movies. I never have been. I know my sons and my husband love them, but I had to go see this one, and I think it was the most tastefully done raunchy movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I laughed at it from the very beginning. I thought the credits at the beginning were so clever.
I loved the beginning. Everybody was dying in the theater when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so clever, and it was very funny. It wasn't over the top, and I wasn't going, oh my God, all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. It was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
It was, I don't want to use the term tastefully.
That was my best description.
Yeah, right.
But
I couldn't even say classy, but it just kind of flowed to where you weren't getting, like you said, overwhelmed with raunchiness, you know.
But it did achieve the fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Uh-huh. As a fresh view. So I mean it's definitely a setting the genre of a superhero anti-superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something we've not seen before on the silver screen, and that's kind of actually really nice. So it was really cool.
It was refreshing to get to see that kind of that side of a superhero, non-superhero, you know, just a guy that's just a mercenary.
Absolutely. And I pulled up the actor's name a while ago. It was Stephen Lang from Avatar. He's in the running to play Cable. Also, they're talking to Ron Perlman, who we know as Hellboy. Hellboy. Okay.
Yeah.
He was also in Sons of Anarchy as well. Dolph Lundgren is also in the run. And let's see if I can pull up the other one. John Hamm. We know him from the show The Town and Sucker Punch.
Oh, and John Hamm, he's in Oh, what's that show?
Yeah. There's several.
He's Mad Men.
Mad Men.
Isn't that guy from Mad Men?
That is the guy from Mad Men. Then we got Jeffrey Dean.
Thank you to the chat.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Ooh, and, I would like him.
And believe it or not, all right, there's also a female actor too that's in here, but Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson?
Wow.
That's what they said. So I don't know. He's not really crazy enough. I'm not really good on that last one. But that Stephen Lang guy from Avatar. Yeah.
I think he'd be a good one. He's the guy.
His look is great, but I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan's comedian, I don't know. I think their look is really good with that guy, but
yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan did such a great job with the comedian.
No. I mean, you just can't. Just can't do that. Just fix it, Jesus. Lord have mercy.
He may be crazy, but he sure does know story structure.
He sure does know how to deliver a story. Whatever that means. All right, ma'am.
It was a South Park episode.
We are about ready to wrap things up. Reb 5 Mom, you rock. Thanks for all your support.
Thanks for calling.
You rock, sweetheart.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right. But Dan, I tell you what, man, another episode in the can. I want to say, man, this has been truly an honor and a blessing having you on and talking with you again and getting to dive into some geekdom as we talk about Deadpool. Now, as you guys noticed this week, we actually changed things up quite a bit.
I was going to say, let's tell them about the new format.
So what we're doing is we're going to actually be talking about a topical-based thing for about 35, 40 minutes on our 55-minute show. And then if we have other news to bring in, we will. But we're going to keep it. Now, next week, we do have a really cool guest lined up for you guys.
I do want to
throw this out there, and I will throw out the link here very shortly for you guys, so you guys can go ahead and go over and subscribe. But he is the chief editor of one of the largest magazines in the Orlando theme park area. His name is Matt Roseboom. Now, if you want to ask questions about what's going on at Disney World and Disneyland in terms of Star Wars and superheroes at Universal Studios, this is the guy to ask. So he's going to be here. He's the chief editor. He's in the theme parks literally every day. He's brushing shoulders with all the stars. He hangs out with all the film stars from Harry Potter. It's crazy. This guy is so connected. He's got more connections than AT&T. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Drop the mic. Just drop it.
I'm done. But definitely check it out. It's going to be an awesome podcast. And that's coming up, and that'll be next week on our weekly podcast. But, Dan, we're actually changing things up. We're going to be trying to, instead of like rushing things through and talking about multiple things at one time, we're going to be spending some time talking about something individually.
And I just wanted to go back to Matt Roseboom. If anybody has any questions that they would like asked, and if they cannot cam in for some reason and they want to hear it on their iTunes podcast, send them in to popxcast.com. at gmail.com,
Mm-hmm. And we can relay those questions for you. No problem. Mm-hmm. Just please drop us a line.
Yeah. And popxcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Everything.
We're everywhere. And of course, popx.com, the central hub for everything PopX related. So if you want to know who's coming up, be sure to check out our website, check out our Instagram feeds, our Facebooks, and our Twitters.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I dropped the link over there for you guys. It's bit.ly/popxcast3. That will be Mr. Matt Roseboom. Okay. So
can't
check
wait
that
to
out.
Drill him about the Star Wars.
Oh, my God, dude. I know. Got to get your questions ready. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, but I think from all of us here at PopX, this is one in the can. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank the Blab community as a whole. I want to thank the techs behind Blab who made the magic happen literally 5 minutes before our show was to go on the air. I want to give a huge shout out to the Blab team. You guys, Jason, Tech Stud, Brittany, Josh, everybody over at Blab, Team Blab. You guys are super amazing. Thank you for letting us be able to do our podcast tonight and just bringing what we love to do to everybody here. So be sure to check out our new podcast. Well, not our new one, but our link for Matt Roseboom next week. I got the link over there in the chat room, and we will see you next week, right?
Yeah, I would just like to say everything you just said. So okay. Have a great night, everybody, and thank you for joining PopX.
From everyone at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating over on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blab, and YouTube @PopXCast. Get your geek on.